Christian with a straight drop, steps up in the pocket, fires to Jenkins, caught, touchdown! Excellent pass, Christian Ponder, excellent pass! It's a 24-yard touchdown!
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Good evening and welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen from the Sports Authority Studios here at Winter Park, joined weekly by Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. And the interview with Coach Frazier is provided by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of the Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. Before we recap Monday, preview Sunday, talk about the status of the team and everything, it got a little louder around here the last couple of days. Of course, you brought in Benny Sapp.
Yes, I mean, Benny is a team favorite. The guys love Benny. You could see the energy in the building once he walked in. It was incredible. So it's glad to have him back, and we're looking forward to him helping us continue to try to improve.
Yeah, with the first game of the season for the Dolphins, he was on the wrong end of that Wes Welker, Tom Brady, 90-whatever-yard play. Is that why he got cut, or was there anything else? Because just one play doesn't usually get somebody cut.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was just that one play or other things, but he's shown in practice that he can still play, and we're hoping he'll be able to help us.
How will he fit in here for you? Winfield out for the year, Cook with that deal. So you got Asher Allen, you got Cedric Griffin, Marcus Sherrills, now Benny Sapp.
Yeah, we're going to try to play him in the nickel situations, and if we were to go some dime, get four defensive backs on the field, he would factor in there as well.
You've always been a Benny Sapp fan. Somebody brought him up early in the season after he was cut by the Dolphins, and you as former defensive coordinator, what do you like so much about Benny?
I like the tenacity that he plays with. He plays so hard. He's a guy who will throw his body around and give you everything that he has, and you like to have players like that around you.
Very emotional guy too, right? Didn't we have a game against the Lions here a couple of years ago where he got like personal fouls on consecutive plays because he couldn't calm down?
Yeah, he can get a little emotional, and we have to temper that at times, but you kind of like that about him as well, that he's a fiery guy who will get in your face and try to make some plays for
you. What have you preached to your secondary? And I know things tie together. You need a good pass rush to protect the secondary and vice versa. However, these Raiders with guys like Denarius Moore, even Lewis Murphy, Jacoby Ford, guys like that, they're very, very fast.
Yeah, I mean, they got some fast receivers, and we've made our players aware of that and just how we want to play them in this game and try to limit the big plays to their wide receivers. And we've got a big task ahead of us, but we got to be able to get it done.
Tough go of it so far, professionally. Personally, how are you handling it?
We're going to be all right. You got to keep fighting and keep working every time that you show up at practice and prepare for games. But our guys are battling, and we'll get through this.
As a leader, you almost can never get down, right?
Well, it's important that, you do the things that are necessary to lead. And for me, having our guys to rally and move on from a tough defeat on Monday night is part of what I have to do, and I'm looking forward to watching them go out and perform.
I know you hate moral victory conversation. However, at Mall of America Field, Christian debuts. You played Green Bay pretty well. Then you go to Charlotte. You win a road game, which is super tough, specifically for this team. And then you get the bye week. In any way, are you concerned the momentum off the Carolina win kind of was lost a little off that Monday Night Football debacle?
Yeah, I don't know how much that factored in. I just think we played a real good team on Monday night, and we just didn't play our best game. We needed to play our best game on that night.
Leslie Frazier, Paul Allen, Vikings Live at Winter Park. From 2-7, outside of the record, what has surprised you most about the first nine games?
We were in so many close games early on. I was believing that we'd win our share of those. Usually it balances out, and we didn't get that done. Now we're getting ready to go into the second half of the season. We are in the second half of the season, so we got to find a way to do the right things in the second half to show improvement over the course of the rest of the season.
Where did it get away Monday night? They may be better than your team right now, but they're not 38 points better.
Yeah, I don't think so either. We didn't make enough plays. When the game was and striking distance in that first half. We just couldn't match some of the things they did, whereas in the game before, we were able to match. If they made a play, we made a play, and we couldn't get that done this time.
Christian Ballard, the rookie from Iowa, flashed in there a little bit, played the most of his career, had a tackle for loss. How did he grade out?
He graded out well. He had a good football game, and he's a guy we're counting on to help us down the line.
With defensive end Brian Robinson now having played more snaps this season than I think he's played in any season during his career, and we're nine games through it, how's his season working out? Is it looking like he, you know, obviously with more reps in play, he can get around anything positively or negatively, but he seems to do better at home compared to on the road. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, and to a degree. But he's doing some good things on the road as well. But there's no question, having our fans in the ball game really makes a difference for our entire defensive line. And they all benefit from the noise that we have at our home field.
We have offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave coming up shortly. We will talk extensively about Christian Ponder. But, Leslie, just from your standpoint, off last Monday night, Was there any form of positive that you can get out of that from Christian Ponder, even just seeing Monday Night Football at Lambeau Field? What positive did you find?
Well, you know, Paul, as tough as it was for him at times, there were times where he made some plays for us, where he got out of some trouble, found some receivers down the field, and continued to, you know, make some throws. So there were some positive things that came out of that game, and the fact that he was able to play on that stage, I think that's going to benefit us down the line.
It's the first time in his young pro career, obviously, that he faced a blowout, and he takes this thing very seriously. How did he handle it?
He handled it well. I mean, he did a good job coming to the sidelines and just trying to work through what was happening to him on the field, and I think he'll bounce back from that game.
Adrian Peterson is 191 yards from the team's all-time rushing record. If he goes at this pace for, like, another 5 years, is he a cinch Hall of Fame-type player?
Oh, I would think so, without question. The rate that he's going and the numbers he's putting up, I mean, they're astounding. And so we fully expect that to be the case. He's a great, great player and a great person as well, and he's having a great season.
And with Adrian Peterson, despite the 2-7, but you've been around here for a while, including 2009 when the team almost went to the Super Bowl, can you call back to your days that you played for the Bears and Walter Payton was on the team? Now, Walter, the late Walter Payton can be considered the greatest running back in the history of the game. Adrian's not there. But players like that have certain all-encompassing auras that kind of surround the team. Do you sense Adrian has that like Walter used to?
Yeah, you know, Adrian has a charisma about him where his teammates know they're surrounded by greatness when he walks in a room and they watch him perform. And they're in awe as much as the fans are. So there's a certain aura around him. But at the same time, he's such a down-to-earth person that he's not standoffish. He doesn't put people away. He's a great teammate. So the players have a great deal of respect for him.
Leslie Frazier, Paul Allen, Vikings Live at Winter Park. Bill Musgrave, Benny Sapp, and Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com coming up. On Adrian's touchdown run, center John Sullivan played very, very well on that play. And from what I understand, he's having a good season.
Yeah, John has really bounced back from last season where he had some injuries and was dealing with some personal issues as well. And he's having a very good season for our football team. And he's really been an anchor on our offensive line.
From 2-7, you obviously want to keep things in a team perspective. But you got Adrian Peterson, 191 from the team record. I know that would make you proud. Jared Allen is trying to run down Michael Strahan's single season sack record of 22.5. He was terrific Monday night, wasn't he? Just terrific from A to Z.
No question about it. I mean, he was able to get some single blocks at times, and other times, of course, they were chipping him. But he wasn't going to be denied. He harassed that quarterback all night long, and really made a lot of plays for us.
So can you take some pride in that? In that, you know, from a team standpoint, you're not going to get where you wanted to get, winning the division first, then playoffs, then Super Bowl. But you have some guys enduring and going through some terrific team accomplishments. I mean, individual accomplishments.
Well, you're always pulling for your players to have success, and it's great that Adrian is having the type of success that he is, and along with Jared, and we got a few other guys that are playing well also. But you know, you love to see players have success.
How do you and defensive coordinator Fred Puggage work during the game? Do you guys work hand in hand? Do you make suggestions, or do you have to deal with so much as the head coach that it's pretty much just his show to deal with it?
You know, I'll try to make suggestions from time to time about some things that I'll see in between series at times. It's a little bit hard, you know, doing the series because you want him to be able to function, but there are times in between series I'll get a chance to talk with him depending on what's happening with our offense.
How is Carson Palmer blending into their offense?
he seems to be blending in pretty well. The last couple of games, he's had some big games for them and made some nice throws in the San Diego game as well as the Denver game. He seems to really have gotten a grasp of their offense.
Has it been that easy? Because he still has more interceptions than touchdowns and he doesn't move.
Yeah, but you can look at the San Diego game. You can see the improvement that has been made from the Kansas City game, his first play where he got in a football game. So he's made improvement.
What went wrong for them in the Denver game? Did just Tebow and that running game get a little loose in the second half?
It seems that they had a little bit of trouble adjusting to some of the stuff that Denver was doing, running the football with the quarterback, and which is creating a lot of problems for the teams trying to defend that offense.
And Leslie, just quickly off topic, because I know you've watched X amount of Raiders games, and we're going to sit here in the Sports Authority studios and talk about the Broncos in a couple of weeks. But when you watch the Raiders and the Broncos and Tebow and the way Mr. Fox is operating that offense, Have you seen anything like it in the last X amount of years of football?
Yeah, you don't come across that offense very often in the NFL where a quarterback will attempt 8 throws and might have 9 rushes in a game. I mean, that does, and today's football, that is so unusual, but they're having success. I mean, he's 3-1 as a starter.
Yep. The Oakland Raiders offense, power running, vertical passing, is that how they operate?
That's how they operate, and that's the way that late Al Davis always preached, you know, long ball, long ball, long ball, and that's what they're doing. They're making some big plays down the field.
You just mentioned the late Al Davis. In closing, share some Al Davis memories with us.
I just remember one time we were at the Combine, Paul, where he and I were just sitting down talking personnel, and I was just blown away with his knowledge of the NFL and players in general. And we were talking about different players from different teams, and it was like talking to a pro scout or a coach on that particular team. And he knew their roster from A to Z, just about every team in our league. So a great mind, a great innovator in our business.
It'll be strange having them here Sunday and not having him at Mall of America Field, don't you agree?
Without question. I mean, whenever you think of the Raiders, you think of Al Davis and the impact he had on that organization as well as our league.
Thanks for the chat. Sorry how things went Monday night. Hopefully you guys win Sunday, okay?
Thank you.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. Bill Musgrave, offensive coordinator, is next. It's Vikings Live from Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. Paul Allen, happy to be joined by Bill Musgrave, offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Doing fine, Paul. Thank you.
Are you okay off the loss Monday night heading into the Raiders game? Is it the 24-hour rule? Just put it behind you and you got to move on.
Well, we got to lick our wounds and find out what we did wrong and get them corrected ASAP. And we're looking forward to Sunday getting back out there and making amends for all of our shortcomings that took place Monday night.
How is Christian Ponder performing, Bill?
He's doing a nice job. As we know, he's a young guy, very wet behind the ears, but he's learning from every experience that he goes through.
Were there any positives for Christian gained from Monday night despite the lopsided result?
Well, there's always positives. You're not going to get any better if you're out on the sideline watching. So the fact that he's in the game, button his head up against all of these experiences, both the tough ones and the ones that are more successful, are good for him.
How did he handle a game like that? He's had to handle a loss to Green Bay, but that's the first blowout loss he's taken in the National Football League, and he takes this thing very seriously. How did he handle it?
Well, like you would expect, he's a competitor. He's had success in athletics his entire life, and no one who's involved in athletics wins every single game, and you do stub your toe at times, and you've got to learn how to bounce back and apply those lessons learned.
They took away, to get a little hardcore here with Bill Musgrave, offensive coordinator, they took away the edges on him, didn't they?
At times, they happened to guess correctly, and they got some guys up the field when we wanted to get him on the edge, and at times they also rushed a few guys, and they ended up right up in his kitchen before he was ready to throw. So it wasn't a lot of fun out there for him. But like I said, he'll learn from it, and we'll learn from it as a group.
Bill, what's your philosophy on rookie quarterbacks in that if you had your preference, would you like a rookie to sit out longer than he did, absorb it, take the whole thing in? I mean, Aaron Rodgers sat out for 3 years. Tony Romo was out for like 3 or 4, and they both done a pretty good job. Would that have been your preference?
Well, I think it depends on the individual, Paul. If a guy has enough experience in college of playing at a high level, he's good to go when he gets to the NFL, and you want to stick him in as soon as he's ready. There's certain situations where there's an incumbent starter, like happened in Green Bay for those years,
yep.
where Aaron Rodgers just couldn't get his foot in the door. But Aaron Rodgers was ready to play from the get-go when he came out of Cal. Matt Ryan was ready when he came out of Boston College. Sanchez was ready when he came out of SC. It varies by the situation and by the individual.
Being the former quarterback's coach with Atlanta, and working intimately with Matt Ryan, do you share anything with Christian that you saw with a young Matt Ryan?
Well, we do at times. We've got a bunch of training tapes that we study just because we're running similar systems. But Christian's very much like Matt. He came from a system in which he was asked to perform a lot of pro football concepts. And so we try to compare and contrast as best we can. And if something happened to a prior quarterback or a previous quarterback or a quarterback on another team that Christian could learn from, we definitely take advantage of that.
What kind of play-changing flexibility does Christian Ponder have at the line of scrimmage, Bill, given he's so new?
Well, he's up to speed on everything. We don't hold anything back with him. He's a sharp cookie. He studies well, and nothing really on the field surprises him, and we feel comfortable giving him a lot of autonomy out there.
After the fourth quarter at Chicago, Green Bay at home and at Charlotte, I would hear a lot of learned people behind the scenes there say one of the good things underrated about Christian is he gets the team out of bad plays for the most part. What does that mean?
Well, he keeps playing where our chalk ends. As coaches, we devise plays and design concepts, and we anticipate them to work a certain way. When they don't, Christian does a good job of ad-libbing or extending the play
right.
or salvaging a play that could be dead in the water.
Adrian Peterson is 191 yards from the team's all-time rushing mark. Do you think he gets it Sunday?
Well, we sure hope so. That's our goal. That's our intent. And we would have loved to have gotten him that record on Monday night, and it didn't work out. We're very disappointed about that.
Bill Musgrave, offensive coordinator, Minnesota Vikings, taking on the Raiders this weekend. You're listening to Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Vikings Radio Network. I'm Paul Allen. Bill, is it a struggle to find ways to utilize Toby Gerhart because the guy in front of him is so good?
No, not necessarily. And we were disappointed that we didn't get Toby a carry the other night. We didn't get a lot of things done on Monday night that we intended to do. And one of them was get Toby involved because he did such a good job for us a number of weeks ago in Charlotte.
What does when Toby does get fair reps or when he gets a fair opportunity, what are some intangibles he possesses that maybe the naked eye wouldn't pick up?
Well, he's got great instincts. He really does. And he can sense where the hole is going to be. And he's so strong in the lower body that he runs through a lot of tackles.
How is Kyle Rudolph, the rookie from Notre Dame, progressing? It seems from afar that he may still need some work on his route running.
Well, he's getting better every week. Kyle had a tough senior year with injuries, but he's done a good job of really taking care of that hamstring and being able to line up for us each and every day in practice. And be someone that we can count on each game.
Is he a speedy enough tight end to maybe one day be the guy who runs up or down the hash marks, up or down the seam, and make plays that way?
He definitely is. He's got good speed, and what's more, he's got good quickness from his basketball background. And a lot of times tight ends who possess quickness can gain separation much more than maybe a guy that just has straight line 40-yard dash speed.
What about Percy Harvin? Can he be a guy used on deep passes? I'm not necessarily talking about nine routes, but maybe like those deep slants that some other teams do. Can you get Percy loose deep if the protection is good enough?
You bet. Percy's done a nice job, and we've had a number of those concepts in the game plan, and we're looking forward to utilizing him. And you're right, getting the ball down the field to him in the seam and in the post.
Yeah, because you think, you know, like you got the Raiders coming in this week and you got that rookie Denarius Moore. You see these Packers receivers. You used to work with Roddy White. You know, most people think that when you got these deep guys, they're generally bigger guys and 4-3 guys. But Percy Harvin's skill set is such where you probably can use him in a lot of different ways, correct?
We do. We really enjoy working with Percy. He's really asserted himself and committed himself to the playbook each and every week. And
yeah.
We've really enjoyed getting to know him, and we're looking forward to much more production in the future.
Bill, Percy seems to relish the opportunities to block for the run. It's absolutely the most physical I've seen him in his 3 years of the National Football League.
Well, all of our receivers are required to block. We want the quarterback to do his part in the running game, too, by getting us in the correct play and booting away to hold off the backside defender. So it goes hand in hand. We emphasize the running game ad nauseum with the players, and fortunately, they've really bought into it.
What's interesting about Oakland's defense, Mr. Musgrave?
Well, they're a good-looking group. They've got veterans along the D-line, big old linebackers that run and hit, so it'll be tough for us. We're going to look forward to running the ball at them, throwing it over the head, wearing them down a little bit, and ending up in the end zone.
How are their corners minus Nnamdi Asomugha? I know we're more than halfway through it now. You got Stanford route, and I know they've had some injuries back there. But what changed once Nnamdi Asomugha went to the Eagles?
Well, they may be playing a little bit more zone coverage than they have in years past. Mr. Davis is a big fan of man coverage and has always had corners on his team that were great in man coverage. I don't know that they're still in that mode, but they still have very very good skilled players in the secondary.
You mentioned Al Davis, the late Al Davis. In closing, Bill, given how deeply rooted you have been in the Bay Area with those championships with the Niners and stuff, what Al Davis-related memories do you have in terms of shaping the game of the National Football League?
Well, originally he was a coach and a scout, as we know, at all levels, high school, college, and also professional. He's a man that knows the game, X's and O's, and so he's very interesting to talk to, and I know I learned a bunch from him when I got to work there for a year.
Hey, Bill, best of luck to you this weekend. Thanks for taking time to join us on Vikings Live at Winter Park, and have a wonderful evening, okay?
Thank you, Paul.
Yep, see you later. That's Bill Musgrave, offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. Very, very enjoyable having him on the staff. And, you know, it's been interesting to see the dynamics outside of the what we think is the aberration that took place at Green Bay on Monday night. It's just been very interesting working next to Pete Bursich, who was a former linebacker for a highly rated Notre Dame team, player for the Vikings for like 7 or 8 years, and a coach of linebackers for the Minnesota Vikings, working under defensive coordinators like George O'Leary, Ted Cottrell, Willie Shaw. It's just interesting to hear him define what changes when Christian Ponder's your quarterback compared to like Donovan McNabb earlier in the season, or even back to the previous two seasons with Brett Favre. And let's say Monday night was an aberration and the team will be better for it. You're just seeing different things specifically on third down, and you're seeing different types of slants, and maybe we'll see something different this weekend against Oakland with Christian Ponder. And, you know, unfortunately from 2-7, it's very much a work in progress, you know, and Bill skirted the question, and I'm not going to answer for him because I don't know well enough and I don't talk to him enough to know really what he feels in his heart. And he, you know, if I ask Bill, would the preference have been to keep Christian Ponder simmering on the sidelines this year so that he's better for it next year? I think the answer is yes. But if you say, yeah, I agree with you, Paul, then that's kind of taking a roundabout shot at Donovan McNabb. And nobody wants to take any shots at anybody, specifically from 2-7. So, you know, that, you know, I said it into the season on my radio show at KFAN.com and FM 100.3, The Fan, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon. The preferred approach would be for Donovan McNabb to perform at a high level so Christian Ponder can learn not only from him, but just how the road trips go, what Lambeau's like on Monday Night Football, what the atmosphere's here is like. Hey, here's how the Bears treated you the first time, Donovan, and now, final game of the season, here's what they did all the way at the end of the season. It's just the experience and the ability to absorb all that was lost. And here's Christian doing the very best he can. I'd take his game despite like 35% completion percentage against Green Bay at Mall of America Field. I'd take that game for a starting debut. I certainly would take 9 out of 10 on third down conversions at Charlotte to beat the Carolina Panthers and win a road game. Winning on the road is difficult in the National Football League and really in any sport. And then you got the bye, you think about Monday Night Football for a couple of weeks, and you go there and get it handed to you. You know, and Green Bay's defense is full of high-end talent. Green Bay's defense may have been second last in the NFL against the pass into the week, but like I said on my radio show last week, there's going to be a time where Messrs. Woodson, Hawk, Matthews, Pickett, Raji, you know, Tremont Williams, high-enders like that, where they get together and they're like, okay, we're in the second half of the season. This offense is gaining all the praise, and, you know, people think we're nothing without our offense. Let's go show them defense on 3-1-2-3 defense. And I really saw a lot of that on Monday night. I mean, they blitzed Christian like 19 out of 39 times, which is unprecedented for the Green Bay Packers. And they brought it from all over the place. They guessed right a lot of times, and it really made it a left-handed game. It tilted the game the way of the home team, and the Vikings could not respond. And then all of a sudden, the avalanche came down, and, you know, everybody was covered in snow. So let's hope that game was an aberration, and we'll see what Mr. Musgrave's offense and the rest of the Vikings can provide this weekend against the Oakland Raiders, where the pregame on the flagship FM 100.3 The Fan begins at 10 a.m. Vikings Radio Network picks it up at 11. Then, boom, we kick off against the Autumn Wind is a Raider at noon from All of America Field. Buffalo Wild Wings is the only place to watch the game when you're not at the game. Play the VIP scratch game, and you could win a VIP experience, free wings, and more. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
And welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. Paul Allen, happy to be joined by Minnesota Vikings cornerback Benny Sapp, recently signed with the loss of Antoine Winfield for the season. Benny Sapp, former Viking, back in the mix. Welcome back to the Twin Cities. Benny, we're 2-7, my friend. What can you bring to help that?
Just the mental part of the game. You know, I just want to win. You know, just come here and win, and hopefully, you know, the energy that I have, my teammates can feed off of it.
How have you been since we last saw you?
I've been pretty good. You know, when I first left, you know, I was upset, you know, but that's the business, you know. But for the most part, I've been pretty good.
Why'd you get upset?
Because, I mean, to be honest with you, I just kind of, you know, felt like I was home a little bit, you know. And for that to happen, you know, after, you know, I moved my family up, first time I ever made that decision in my career, you know, to move my family up. And, you know, it's kind of like a shot in the face. So, I mean, but like I said, it's part of the business. You know, I moved on, and now I'm back.
You were traded for receiver Greg Camarillo, who's here now. So you're mixing it up with him in practice a little bit. Is it weird?
It's a little weird, you know, knowing that I got traded for this guy. And, you know, now that we're on the same team, and, you know, props to Minnesota, they got the best of both worlds now. Yeah. They got an offense and a defensive player. But for the most part, you know, he's a great, great dude. You know, I've been going against him a little bit in practice, and, you know, he's good.
What have you been doing since you last were with Miami to now that you're going to play in this Raiders game this weekend?
Well, for the past couple of weeks, you know, I had a nice little time to think a little bit to see what went wrong, and, you know, I don't complain about anything. You know, I always felt like, you know, whatever happens, it happens. You just got to learn from your mistakes, and that's the biggest part, you know, what I had to go through, you know, try to figure out. You know, I felt like I was doing everything in my power right, and, you know, for them to, you know, do that off of, you know, one play, you know, it was kind of a letdown to me and, you know, my family, you know. So I just, you know, just relaxed and just got to bounce back.
Benny, getting traded is one thing, getting cut's another. Was it really difficult after you got cut, watching NFL games, trying to keep yourself in shape, trying to keep motivated? A lot of people get depressed off that.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, it's very hard. You know, I mean, it's something that, you know, I'm pretty much sure that a lot of football players, you know, went through, and it's my first time, you know, in my career out of 8 years, you know, playing in the NFL. You know, it's my first time, and, you know, it was kind of like a wake-up call, a rude awakening, you know. And business-wise,
yeah,
you know, it kind of, I love the game of football, and I put my heart into it, and I'm a very emotional player, you know. But one thing I really kind of didn't pay attention to is the business side of it, you know. And I just really had to sit back and learn the business side of it, and I think that'll kind of help me out in my game a little bit too as well, you know, because I got to put myself in the owner's shoes. If you got something that's not doing right, you got to get rid of it, you know. And so I just, you know, go with that motto.
Miami's pass defense has struggled a bit this year. Why did Miami cut you? You mentioned one play, and, and you know what? It was a nationally televised game. It was Brady to Welker, whether it was a bad angle, a missed tackle, whatever. Wes Welker and Tom Brady are two very good players.
Right.
Why were you cut?
Be honest with you, I totally don't know why. But like I said, I got to take it as they, you know, they took a loss, and they lost a good player. You know, and I just got to, you know, keep my head up high, and no hard feelings towards Miami. You know, I mean, they're a good team. They got a great coaching staff. But, you know, I just think they made a bad decision.
What's the process like when you join a new team? For instance, if you hear Antoine Winfield gets lost for the year during the Green Bay game, does your agent or do you contact somebody? Does somebody contact you? What's that process like?
Well, for me, it was when I seen him went down. You know, Antoine, he's been a great mentor for me. I always looked up to him from the time I got here. I sat right next to him, and I stole a couple of techniques from him, and I stole the way he learned and the way he prepared himself for a game. And he's taught me a lot, you know, for this game. And when I seen him went down, it was kind of like, you know, dang, man, Tweezy down, man. I wonder if they'll call me to come help out.
Yep.
You know, and so happened, it happened.
So you watched the Monday Night Football game?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Oof. Most definitely.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, it was a bad one. You know, I hated to see my fellow friends and my old teammates at that point.
Yeah.
You know, now my new teammates and old teammates.
Yeah.
You know, I felt pretty bad for them, you know, and I just, like I said, I'm an emotional player, and I played in this system before, and I played for this organization, you know, for Ziggy. You know, he's a great man, you know, so kind of, you know, I play here. I bust my heart here, you know, so a little bit was still here. A little bit to a lot was still here. So seeing that happen to those guys, you know, I kind of felt it myself.
Well, you were on the team in 2008 when Aaron Rodgers debuted Monday Night Football at Lambeau Field against Tavares Jackson, and they beat you guys in a tightly contested game.
Right.
Since you conceded that you watched the Monday Night Football game, how different is Aaron Rodgers and that offense now compared to what you saw in 08, 09, or whatever?
The thing what I see with Aaron Rodgers and those guys is just one player.
Yep.
You know, one player. And I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers. I'm saying the Packers, their offense. You know, it's just one player. And they all playing like on the string a little bit, you know, and it's working for them. And, you know, they all playing together.
Yep.
And you can't beat that with a baseball bat, man.
What's your role going to be Sunday? Leslie said earlier in the media time that you're probably going to start out as a nickel guy, Cedric and Asher Allen starting. So, you know, before you think you're giving away company secrets, Leslie talked about that earlier on this show. So I know that you'll get some run nickel-wise, but having not been in game action for X amount of weeks, how much do you think you can bring?
I don't know, you know, but I know one thing. You know, I'm very competitive, and I refuse to lose. So, I mean, If I bring that, you know, hard work, you know, I know I'm a hard worker, you know, and hard work beats talent at the end of the day, you know. So I know I'm a hard worker, and I believe in myself. I'm very confident. I have faith in myself that if they would have called me and I had to play the next day, I would have had the same kind of confidence, you know. Probably went out there and bust my heart or something, but I would have went out trying, you know.
Benny Sapp, cornerback for the Minnesota Vikings, back with the team after spending several years here. Antoine Winfield out for the season. Benny Sapp back in the mix. We have seven to go. Raiders this weekend at noon. That's the kickoff on the Vikings Radio Network throughout the Vikings Radio Network from all of America Field. When you are trying to keep yourself fit and ready, and just in case the opportunity arises, are you running the beaches of Fort Lauderdale? Are you lifting weights? What are you doing? You going out a lot? You sit on the couch?
I paid attention to my son a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and my dog and my
How old's your son?
He's 11. You know, and
Fifth grade?
Sixth grade.
Wow, he's advanced. Smart
Yeah,
kid,
he just turned 11 in June, too.
Holy cow.
As well. So, but just went outside, and, you know, I had my dog and my son, and, you know, almost every other day we went in the back, and, you know, we ran routes. You know, I showed him things, and I just kind of stayed in shape, chasing behind him, trying to, you know, help him get towards his dreams and his goals. And, you know, me knowing that I was doing that, I knew I was in some type of shape, you know. So I just kept doing that for a while, the whole time, you know, just focus on my son.
Benny,
know?
As a dad, you say an 11-year-old son, sixth grade, he turned 11 in June. You got cut in September. How do you come home and sit down with your 11-year-old son? I mean, the dog's always going to miss you when you leave.
Right.
You got to sit down with your 11-year-old son, and what's his name?
Same as mine.
Yeah, and say
he's
Benny.
He's the third, actually.
Benny the third.
Yeah.
Here's what just happened. How do you do that?
He was the first person I actually told. You know, as soon as he got home from school. You know, and honestly, he's just like his dad. You know, he's an emotional player, and, you know, I didn't cry about it. You know, that's just the business. I've been there and done that, you know. But, you know, I seen tears, you know, a tear come down his eye, and, you know, it kind of, right then and there, you know, I never tried to, you know, force football on my kid. You know, you know how some parents like this and that, but right then and there, you know, that's when I took the initiative. You know, it just hit me right then. You know, I was depressed a little bit, and I knew I had to tell my son the very next day. But right when I told him, I seen a tear come out of his eye. That let me know how much emotion that this 11-year-old kid have for the game of, you know, football.
Yep.
And right then and there, I just said, you know what, son, let's just, the first day, as soon as he told me that, and after I told him, we went, after he cried a little bit, went in the back, and we started running routes.
Yep.
You know, and we raced a little bit.
And at age 11, he's not thinking money, he's not thinking pension, he's not thinking, wow, daddy just lost money on the first and the 15th.
Nothing.
He's thinking, daddy loves this, daddy is hurt.
Right.
And there comes the tear.
All right. And I guess he took it upon himself. Well, since my daddy's home now, he can teach me. So every day, every time that he got, you know, he took me in the backyard. And, you know, it came a point in time where I just wanted to see where he grabbed me. And he did that. And I just took it, you know, really just took it from there. And every morning, got him doing push-ups, you know, just the little things just to get his body right, you know, for his dream.
2-7 around here, in case you haven't noticed. It's been a little tough this year, Benny.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, most definitely. It'll turn around, though. It'll turn around, though.
Yeah, and you got a good challenge this weekend, too, because Carson Palmer's throwing the ball okay. And, you know, I was talking to Leslie Frazier earlier on this show, this Raiders team, you put the depth chart together, you start to get ready for the game. And unless you follow it super closely, like a scout or somebody who knows all the positions, it's half the team, you don't recognize the names. And, you know, for the casual fan, they see Denarius Moore, Jacoby Ford, Lewis Murphy, and they're like, big deal, until they watch him go 4-3 on the field, like Quentin Jammer did a couple of Thursday nights ago against that rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, they're throwing you right in against a team that likes to go vertical a lot.
Right, all right. Well, as for me, you know, it's business. Get ready. You know, but, you know, I'm prepared for this. You know, it's not new to me. You know, so I'm ready and I'm capable to go out there and, you know, handle my business.
What was it like playing full-time in the AFC East?
It was fun. It was fun. You know, just to move around a little bit. It was fun, but nothing like this.
Yeah. Did you like playing against the New York Jets?
Be honest with you, I grew up a Dolphin, to be honest with you. And
wow, you got cut by your favorite team?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up a Dolphin. And to be honest with you, when I played the Jets, it didn't feel like how it felt, you know, when I was growing up a little bit. You know, you always had that, you know, you always got the competition thing going on, the rivalry thing going on, but it just didn't feel that excitement. Like, honestly, you know, the fan base, you know, it's nothing like the Midwest.
Are the Dolphins still your favorite team?
Far as if I had to do fantasy or something like that, yeah, I would pick the Dolphins.
What about your son? He hates them now, doesn't he?
Oh, he hates the Dolphins.
Well, he has to. They cut dad.
Oh, he hates the Dolphins.
They don't even count, man. It's a 31-team league.
He hates the Dolphins, but he's a Vikings fan, be honest with you.
Awesome.
Be honest with you.
Last question. You've played against Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Who's better and why?
I'll say Tom Brady.
For what reason?
Aaron Rodgers have a ways to go.
Yeah.
But he's on pace to be better than Tom Brady.
Yep.
If you want to ask my opinion. But
at this stage,
I have to give it to, you know, Tom. You know, great quarterback, comes in week in, week out, and make play after play after play after play after play. So, I mean, right now I got to go with Tom. But Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's on pace to, you know, shatter his goals and his stats.
As you can tell, I'm really excited that you're back. I appreciate your energy. Mm-hmm. Hey, I don't know how things are going to work out this weekend or for the rest of the season, but I hope you finish your career here. It's great to have your energy back, Benny. It's been a tough season, obviously, and I know you make a lot of people smile. So I'm glad things have worked out, at least for now, well for you and your family.
Right.
And bless you, man, and thanks for coming on the show. Okay,
it really would work out good if we start winning around here.
Could happen this weekend. Make it happen. Jump a route and go.
Hey, jump a route and go, huh?
You're like, well, why am I not going to jump this route? I was cut like 2 months ago. I'm just going to do it and go and see what happens, right?
No, I can't do that.
All right, Benny, see ya.
Appreciate it, man.
Mike Wabshaw, Vikings.com, to handicap the game when we return to Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. By Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com follows Benny Sapp, who was preceded by Bill Musgrave. And per usual, we start the show with Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. All of this will be podcastable at KFAN.com, flagship for Minnesota Vikings football from FM 100.3. In that perspective. And here comes Wabi from Vikings.com, and we're going to preview the Vikings and the Oakland Raiders. Hello, Wabi.
Hey, PA, what's happening?
Benny Sapp, your thoughts?
Benny Sapp, I mean, there's just no doubt about it. The energy level picks up when he's in the building, and, you know, standing outside the meeting room earlier today to get Benny, to bring him in here to VEN Studios, Sports Authority Studios.
Yep.
I mean, he's the loudest one in the room. And you can't help but wonder, a 2-7 start to the season and a secondary that's been criticized so much, what's the mood like in those meeting rooms as they're going over tape? And, I mean, Benny Sapp comes in there, and I'm sure he lightens the mood up a little bit. And Benny is, sometimes he can be a feast or famine type of player.
Yep.
But that, I kind of like that, because we got some young players in this secondary, and I think he can teach them maybe a killer instinct, how to come up and make a big play, because he has a tendency to do that. I just don't think you're hurt by bringing in Benny Sapp right now.
Michael, you have a great way about you of staying positive no matter what the situation is. Off 45-7 at 2-7, not just from Vikings.com, but I know the football team matters to you professionally and personally. It matters to you. What are some tricks you're using to stay positive about the rest of the year?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a big part of this team with 9 draft picks from last year's draft class, with a guy like Percy Harvin. even Adrian Peterson, who's in his fifth season, but more so those draft picks and guys such as Percy Harvin, John Sullivan, who's early in his starting career.
Yeah, I got Sullivan's team too, by the way.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it later. But I don't want those guys to be accustomed to losing. Mm-hmm. And when you're at 2-7, that's got to be a fear. Mm-hmm. And so what you want to do as the season goes on, the playoffs might be out of reach. Yeah, we'd really like to have a great pick.
Yep.
But we don't want to get used to losing. And the young players are why. We want them to learn how to prepare for opponents on a week-to-week basis. I don't care if you're out of the playoff race.
Yep.
You need to be a professional and prepare yourself to win and give a good accounting of yourself every time you go out onto the field. And so now, as we go through the second part of the season with the playoffs a little bit out of reach, that's really what it's about. It's about the quarterback, developing him,
yep.
Some of the younger players. Let's get Kyle Rudolph to become a better route runner, to pay attention to some details.
Love that.
He's not a poor route runner, but this is his first year in the NFL, and Vasante Shenko is so good at the subtle movements and getting open,
yep.
And we want Kyle Rudolph to learn that. So those are just kind of some of the things you look at in a season like this.
I talk to some people every so often from NFL Films to just get squared away on some things, opinions and everything,
yeah.
And I was talking to somebody earlier this week after the Green Bay game on Tuesday, and I was told of all of the Minnesota Vikings offensive linemen, it can be argued John Sullivan is or should be grading out game by game as well, if not better, than anybody up and down the line. And also, I believe he's a free agent.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a coveted center in free agency, not necessarily because of what the competition looks like, but because of the bounce back John had from the calf injury last year. And he also had some personal turmoil off the field up to the season. And you know what? I put this out there now, even in a 2-7 season, because John kind of got his butt kicked in the media and with fans and stuff like that last year. And I always felt it was unfair because he was the starting center for a team with a Hall of Fame quarterback that almost went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So obviously he can get his way around the gym a little bit. And then he had some personal turmoil, death-related family-wise. And he was in, he was out, he was in, he was out. We had to get down to our third center last year in that Jets game, I think. I think it might have gone Sullivan to Cook to Cooper, something like that. And John is performing extremely well this year. I'm very happy for him.
Yeah, I am too. And really, I don't want to. I think John Sullivan can become his own player. I don't want to try and fit him into a Matt Burke type of mold.
Mm-hmm.
But we were all very fond of Matt Burke, both off the field, but also his play on the field. And he came into, granted, he came from a football powerhouse, and John Sullivan did in Notre Dame. Matt Burke came from Harvard, but they were both late round picks. Neither one of them started their first year in the league, and then they came in and replaced veteran centers that the fan base really loved. Jeff Christie for Burke, and then Sullivan when Burke left. And I see the same type of development in their careers. And you go back and look at some games that John Sullivan has either left in the middle of the game because of the calf injury or has not started. This offensive line plays better when John is in there.
Yep.
And going back to him being a free agent, I mean, I think it's a scenario where the Vikings probably value him more than most other teams would, and the Vikings are a better situation for him than most other areas because he knows this offense.
Yep.
He knows his teammates on either side of him. He's very involved in the line calls, and I think this is a good spot for John. I see him being a part of the future here.
Mike Wabshaw, Vikings.com, Paul Allen in deep stretch of Vikings Live at Winter Park. We have 2.5 minutes to go. You have an extensive sheet there with Vikings and Raiders prep.
Yeah.
Empty it. 2.5 minutes, man. You get it all.
All right. Well, I think a big story here for the Raiders this season is Carson Palmer. They acquired him via trade from the Cincinnati Bengals. Carson and the Bengals were in a contract squabble, to say the least. He refused to play for them. The Bengals hold out, finally get a bunch of draft picks for him, valuable draft picks for him. Carson comes to Oakland. He starts. Struggled in his first appearance. He's gotten better. His completion percentage, his yards per attempt, and his passer rating have gone up in each game that he's played. He's got some speed on the outside at receiver.
Yep.
The Raiders haven't given up a lot of sacks this season, only 11. But Carson Palmer historically will take some sacks. He's a 9-year veteran, but he's been sacked 26 times twice, 36 times once in a season, 25 times in another season. He'll stand in the pocket and wait for his receivers to get open. But if Jared Allen and Brian Robinson and Kevin Williams can get off the line with a loud Mall of America field crowd, I think this is a quarterback that you can get to and take down. Another thing, playing off of the crowd, is – the Raiders are the most penalized team in the NFL. And that's really something that can back up an offense when they're playing on the road and it's loud. And that's really an area I think the Vikings can expose.
What at Vikings.com, what can people expect leading up to the game? 30 seconds, go.
Well, leading up to the game, we're going to have the inactives 90 minutes before the game on game day. We're going to have a live chat during the game on game day. And really, Ryan Cardinal and I will update the site. We do a player interview right outside of the locker room 2 hours before the game to get someone's perspective on this matchup. And so we're updating the site constantly on game day. You and I have a Keys to the Game segment, which is sponsored by Sports Authority. That'll be up later tonight. And
excellent.
So there's just a lot of speculation. How do we beat the Raiders? Who's going to have a good game? Sebastian Janikowski, Mike Prefer talked today about having two different game plans for him because of his injury. Is he going to use his power or is he going to use his accuracy on kickoff? So just a lot of hardcore football stuff that Vikings fans will enjoy.
Thank you, Wobby.
Thanks for having me, PA.
Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. Follow the content, follow the video at Vikings.com, and don't forget you can podcast this entire show via the Purple on Demand section of KFAN.com. We would like to thank everybody here at Winter Park and with the Minnesota Vikings and the Sports Authority Studios for assisting this radio show, specifically the producer, Joe Nelson, the on-site producer, Jay Nelson. It's been a Brian Harper production here at the Sports Authority Studios. We thank Tom West, Bob Hagen, and everybody else. On behalf of all of us with the Minnesota Vikings, I'm Paul Allen. Thanks for listening to Vikings Live at Winter Park, all across the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.